It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now.
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida on our Thursday edition. It's a little after 6 at drive time. Of course, Mike Rickard, Tom Gribben, Kerry McNally now in the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, and John Rieger up there on St. Augustine Beach taking care of business as well. And we've got Ivor McTavish taking care of sound and adding a couple of new toys for us as we deliver each and every week to you live from Ferg's, and of course brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewing as well. Hey, a couple of things I want to touch upon, John, before we move backwards. Before we move forwards, I want to go back. Because we have gone backwards on and actually covering the great game of golf, and we almost omitted the ladies. That's why I needed to go back and recognize Paula Rito is sitting at first over there in France. She's at the Evian in France. It's their fourth major for the ladies. Allison Lee from the U.S. sits at second, and back to across the pond to the British Senior Championship. We still have. I was looking for Padraig Harrington. He's only 9 off the pace. And as you alluded to, playing in the Open last week, he's one of the two players from the Champions Tour seniors that did participate. He's got to be exhausted, and it probably showed up today. He was 4 over Padraig Harrington, who was one of the favorites, along with Bernard Langer, who's 3 over. And I don't even see Steve Stricker anywhere within striking distance either. So the favorites, we've got to go with our man, the greatest contortionist there is, Miguel Angel Jimenez, is sitting on top at 5 under.
I want to jump in here on that one. I went to the PGA Championship back in 2008. I think it was the year that Y.E. Yang won. Why? No, it's true. Why? Because he beat Tiger Woods. But I saw probably one of the greatest golf shots of my life, and it was a long par 3, about 45 yards, this par 3. And he takes out this 5-wood and smashes it. You can't even see the actual pin, Mike, because the hole is guarded by these two big sand traps, and the pin is way down to the left. And you can see the top of the flag. He hits this like line drive at the right side of the green, and it's like a delayed snap hook. And just as it gets over the green, it snaps to the left and goes, and apparently nobody could see it. Crowd goes wild. It almost went in. I couldn't believe it. And it was funny because right before he hit the shot, he threw his cigar in my direction and it almost hit me in the foot.
Did he go pick it up, though?
Oh, and he came back over. And
sticking it back in his mouth?
Yes. And I was like,
that's old school, baby.
I was literally speechless. I said to him, I said, I think that might have been the greatest shot I've ever seen. And he looked at me and said, congratulations. and walked away.
He's the coolest guy on the planet, Miguel Angel Jimenez.
The mechanic.
Yeah, the mechanic. And now he's leading the senior U.S. Open, the senior British Open. And he is, as I mentioned, a contortionist. Go online and Google him. You'll see his workout plan. But right now, let's switch gears. It's brought to you by Great Bay and Ice Pick Vodka, a conversation with Steve Pike, gentleman that John Rieger brought to the airwaves. And John, I'll let you do the introduction. You do a much better job on a daily basis than I do anyway. And Steve, thanks for joining us on the Tee Florida.
Oh, happy to do it, guys. Thank you.
Well, let's go ahead and bring Steve Pike on here. And just like Miguel Jimenez, who's leading the British Senior Open, Steve might be one of the world's most interesting men out there. I'm going to give you a quick bio of Steve and some of the things that he's done. But he's a very interesting human being. And, Steve's a multiple award-winning journalist and author who helped define the golf business reporting. So that's reporting about the golf business, the golf industry, versus just tee shots and trophies and things like that. And he pioneered that in the early 90s as the first golf business editor for Golf Week magazine, then Golf World, and Golf Shop Operations, all owned by the New York Times Magazine Group and Golf Digest.
So wow, impressive.
Well, yeah, it's pretty cool now. We're getting into the cool stuff now, okay? you know, that's the perfunctory, okay, that's, you know, that's who he is, that's where he came from, you know, being a golf writer, being a sports writer, but he's actually creating a genre of business reporting for the world of golf. But he's also a travel and culinary and golf writer. Now, get this. Now, his nickname is Spike because he's Steve Pike, but he puts an S in front of the Pike, so his nickname is Spike. Spike has done the following here. He's climbed volcanoes in the Canary Islands. He's cruised the Rhine River and Danube Rivers. He swam with sharks off the Guadalupe Island. He ascended the Great Wall of China. He dived Australia's Great Barrier Reef. He's teed off in the Austrian Alps. And he shared a single malt scotch. We don't have much of that around Ferg's. I know Alan, our resident caddy, might be able to find some there at Ferg's 19th hole clubhouse. But he shared a single malt scotch with Sir Michael Bonilac at the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews, Scotland. So this is, and it just gets better. You know, he's played golf with Arnold Palmer, Joe DiMaggio, Alice Cooper, Jimmy Buffett. He's interviewed President Donald Trump, Tiger Woods, Muhammad Ali, Johnny Cash. It just goes on and on. So for listeners out there, our most interesting man in the world of golf, Steve Pike, welcome to On the Tee Florida.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I was looking forward to it.
Holy moly. I'm just sitting here in amazement, Steve. The life you've had. I've got an assembly of talented guys sitting down here, and we're all just shaking our head. It's just an absolutely amazing life that you've had so far. And I'm sure it's tough to pin down one of them, but why don't you share with our audience from the world of golf, probably the most interesting thing that you have done.
Oh, geez, the most interesting thing I've done in the world of golf, it's probably a combination of things. When I first got into, started working at Golf Week in 1989, that was sort of the heyday of all of the inventors and all the entrepreneurs and then that sort of thing in golf. So I got to know Carsten Stolheim at Ping. I got to know Gary Adams, who developed the metal wood, and I got to know. I was the first. I think I might have been the first. I got one for you. I might have been the first equipment rider in August of 1990 in Carlsbad, California, with Eli Callaway to see Big Bertha, the original Big Bertha driver. That was it when Callaway Golf headquarters was a little strip mall right off of Interstate 5 in Carlsbad, California. So let's go with that one for now.
Well, when you were
I remember those days of Golf Week back in the late 80s. We used to own a little course called the Bloomingdale Golfers Club in Valrico, and I remember Golf Week used to have the top 10 golf courses in Florida. And, mm-hmm. And so what we did is that we bought all of our members a subscription to Golf Week, and then we tore out the ballot, and we only would let them vote for Bloomingdale to be number one. And lo and behold, we always made it in the top 10 every year. But Golf Week has certainly changed since those years.
Yeah, that was a fun place. I remember the mascot was a little raccoon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we did that, actually, because we had opening day. We had a big media day there. This is, back in 83. And a family of raccoons came right across. You know, we had record-setting day. You set all the course records for the day. And we had a family of raccoons just walk right across the 16th green. All the media was there because the tour pros that played in our opening day were right there. So we looked at them. We go, that's our shirt. That's our mascot. Let's get the logo going now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know that Bloomingdale, that property has changed a lot over the past several years.
It has quite a bit. Hey, you know, when I follow you on social media, I know you're on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. You make me hungry because you're out there now not only covering golf, but you're calling culinary. What great places you've been to around the world right now? You know, what's your most favorite place here recently that you've been able to go take a review, enjoy the food, and have some fun?
Now, let me get a pen to write this stuff.
Normally, you know, the last place or the last two places you say are your favorites. So, Gallagher Steakhouse, which is a very famous steakhouse in New York, just opened in Boca Raton, probably 30 minutes from my house. So so we were there last week, so that has to be among the favorites, I would say. And my friend Curtis Perry, who owns a Mexican restaurant in here in Palm Beach County called Calaveras Cantina, he just opened up a second location called Voodoo Bayou, which is Cajun cuisine. He opened that up in Fort Lauderdale. So I would say those are two of my favorites. I love my friend Chef Peter Vothi's Red Steakhouse or Red South Beach Steakhouse down south of down on the southern tip of South Beach is certainly one of my favorites too. Diplomat Prime in Hollywood. Any place that basically has steak. Or if I go to Texas, then you go to Black Barbecue, you know, the Salt Lick, do the barbecue golf trail, and just fall asleep for about 3 days.
Tom, you got a question? Hey, John, Tom's got a question on his imbibing.
No, I have.
Oh, let's hear from Tom.
When you're having that single malt scotch at St. Andrews in the clubhouse, did Mike Rickard's name come up?
Several times. No. How about Ivor McTavish?
No, there's a funny story about that. I don't know how much time you guys have.
But we got plenty of time for someone like you. We could do 2 hours on your life.
One of the guys who was in our traveling group. We had been to Turnberry before we had got to the Old Course, and a couple of days before, and one of the guys in our traveling group had wanted to buy or had heard about the single malt scotch that was proprietary to the RNA signature single malt scotch, and he was wanting to get a bottle of that, and he didn't know how he was going to do that because at that time. We didn't know we were going to be into the RNA. So he talked to one of the caddies, I believe it was at Turnberry, and the caddy at Turnberry said he could get him one. It would be like $200. So our buddy gave him $200. Sure enough, 2 days later, we're in the RNA with Sir Michael Benalik, and our friend asks, well, they have the bottles there. You can buy them. And our friend goes, well, how much is that bottle? And Sir Michael Benalik looked at him and goes, that's $14. So I don't think he ever got the I don't think he ever found the $200 bottle, but he got the one for $14.
You're listening.
Hey, you know, one of our great fans of the show, our number one fan of the show, is also a sponsor of Wild Bill Sereau. He's got Yanking Crank, which is extreme. Fine fish and passion, and he is a huge Jimmy Buffett fan. And I see here that you have interviewed Jimmy Buffett. So tell us a little bit about your interview with Jimmy Buffett, and what's he like out there for all those parrot heads that want to listen.
That was years ago. Jimmy and I played in the at the time it was the Brian Gumbel Celebrity Golf Tournament that they had at Disney World, and I just so happened I was at Golf Week. To get paired up with Jimmy Buffett, who, if I remember correctly, played left-handed and played pings, and could actually play pretty well. So we had a good time playing. He would come up with a barb every now and then, but most of the time he was fairly quiet and a very nice man.
Yeah, I'm an old running buddy of Jimmy's, and he's a very articulate guy too. I mean, he's well spoken. Yeah. He could tell a story, obviously.
Yeah, very much so. Very unassuming, too. You wouldn't know he's around, really, unless you actually knew it was him.
Tom, we're going to have to get him on Steve, his golf game.
That'd be nice.
Absolutely.
We know Steve, Tom Gribben, who's on our show here, he not only is he an accomplished attorney and a member of the entertainment world, he had a group called the Saltwater Cowboys, but he's also... a published author that they're going to make a movie into Netflix. So let's talk a little bit about musicians here, since we have you, Steve, on the air here on the Steve Florida. And I see that you've interviewed Johnny Cash. So, Tom, have you run into Johnny Cash?
Yes, I played with Johnny Cash at Wembley two different years. And
did you have single malt before?
No. Johnny was not drinking at that time, by the time I started running around with him. And I was really good friends with his daughter, Roseanne Cash. And but yeah, John was a really great guy. I bet you that would be a really good interview, huh?
It was. It was fairly intimidating at first, but he sort of put you at ease. And
that's what he does. He puts you at ease.
And what I got out of the whole interview, the time I spent with him was, what was the experience of talking to Johnny Cash and being around Johnny Cash? What was that like? And it was like, everything you get is the truth. And when you listen to Johnny Cash talk, when you listen to Johnny Cash's music, it's the truth all the way through. And it's really the raw truth. There's nothing to it, but, the truth comes through, you know, in everything he says, and I think in everything he did.
Well, I've got to insert my question because my background for decades was involved in boxing in many capacities, assisting. And when John did the introduction, he mentioned Muhammad Ali. And I am so envious that you had that opportunity. Describe sitting down across from Muhammad Ali, who I to this day still think is one of the greatest ambassadors of humanity, and traveling the world. And, you know, of course, I still think he's the greatest boxer. So share a little of those thoughts, would you please?
Yeah, that was at a... at a golf event in Chicago, obviously now several years ago. But there was just a few of us in a room with him, and he was showing little kids magic tricks because he liked to do magic tricks.
Card he loved
tricks,
magic.
Card trick for these kids. And he would make eye contact with you, and he knew, I think you... although he couldn't converse all that well at that time, you knew he knew your name, and he would always I think when it was time to go, he seemed to be very appreciative of the fact that that you were there. But it is a little bit unsettling because you're sitting 4 feet away from the man who's the most famous man in the world. And just have him sort of be more inquisitive about what you do than what he did. You know, it's sort of like one time I remember, and I don't know if you have a minute left, but when I was covering Missouri basketball, Wilt Chamberlain came back to the University of Kansas, and they did a halftime thing with Wilt and all of that there, and he was very appreciative at Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, and one of the last things he said, literally before he dropped the mic, was he looked around to all of the fans at Allen Fieldhouse and looked around and said, "Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for remembering me." And he just dropped the mic and said, "Wait a minute, so you're Wilt Chamberlain. thanks for remembering me."
Wilt the Stilt was the original mic dropper, and I've been in the Allen Fieldhouse, and of course Naismith Hall at the University of Kansas and Lawrence. I mean, a lot of these interviews and the occasion to meet these greats and these icons were some of them just happenstance. It sounds like the Wilt Chamberlain one was, you were with Missouri Tiger broadcaster.
Yeah,
I mean, you've been a blessed man.
The Wilt Chamberlain one was, the Ali one was sort of arranged. I guess the Michael Benalik one is that was happenstance. The Alice Coopers and the And the Jimmy Buffett, all of that's by happenstance. If you play enough of these tournaments, you're going to get to meet enough people and play with enough people that, you know, some of them are famous and some of them are not so famous. So when you've been doing it, you know, as long as I have and have been fortunate enough to get in the positions that I have, these things just sort of happen, and you have to be able to, You have to appreciate it, certainly, but you have to also take it with a grain of salt that it's not really the real world that you live in. I probably haven't lived in the real world since I joined Golf Week, in a way. And when I was covering Major League Baseball in the 80s, it's sort of also not the real world, but it is and it's not. But you have to sort of take it that there's life outside of what these people do, and there's life really outside of what you do as well, and that it's a lot different from what you really see.
Hey, real quick, and I know John probably has a question, and Kerry, being at Golf Week, has your path ever come across Lance Ringler? He does the collegiate coverage for Golf Week. Have you ever, your paths ever crossed Lance Ringler?
No, because I haven't been at Golf Week for 30 years.
Gotcha.
Something like that. So the legendary golf writer, college golf writer I knew at Golf Week was a gentleman named Ron Bilicki, who I'm forever indebted to.
And a quick question.
You know, I got a quick question. So we've got Kerry McNally on here. He is an entertainer and does something, a very special golf tournament that he does out there, and he chronicles and is part of out in Pebble Beach. Steve, you've been to Pebble Beach, and Kerry, maybe you guys have something in common.
Well, I was going to ask Steve, are you still with Golf Week, and what is the status of Golf Week these days? Is it strictly online? Is it just Golf Digest? What's the major publication in golf?
I haven't been to Golf Week since like something like 94, something like that I went to Golf Digest in the Times Magazine group, and then eventually over to the PGA of America where we started PGA.com. And I was there until 2006 to 2007, something like that.
Okay. Great. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you. What an honor. And congratulations on such a stellar career doing something that you clearly love so much.
Oh, no, it's been my pleasure. Anytime, guys. Just let me know when.
Like I said, we could do
Steve,
a three.
Hey, Steve, I guess we'll do one more question because we can keep you on there for a couple hours. But you've been to Pebble Beach, right?
Oh, sure, yes.
And, Kerry, you're going to Pebble Beach again soon, right?
Lord willing, yeah, that's the idea, for sure. It's a magical, very special place, Monterey Bay, in early November. It's Veterans Weekend every year, the Legends Invitational at Pebble Beach. If you want to come, it's legendsinvitational.com. It isn't inexpensive, but it's worth every single penny, and a portion of the proceeds goes to the Navy SEAL Museum over there in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Very nice. That's a great time of year to go, too.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, gentlemen. Well, this has been superb. Spike, Steve Pike, however you want to be identified, regardless, I am very, very jealous of your travels. Kerry's got one last statement for you.
Hey, Steve, as storied as your career and life has been, and you've swam with sharks, and let's not get into that story, but have you ever wrestled any cougars in Sarasota?
That's a personal question. And did Mike Ricker's name come
up? there's just way too many jokes for that.
I know. Yeah, trust me.
That goes for another time.
I sat on that joke for 25 minutes.
All right. Exactly. All right. Yeah, you certainly have made our day here on the Tee Florida. We look forward to further conversations, and you can give us an update on that cougar wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, by the way, you know, we interfered with Sammy and Bob, and Alex, and Bob was the winner on their simulator here. Hey, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk to John Rager, and I want to get some little history with the great, late great Tony Bennett and Tom Gribben, who had some interaction with him. We'll be back on the Tee Florida, live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Berg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Berg's Sports Bar and Grill.
Rowdies fans, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are back this Saturday. Join us Saturday, July 29th at Al Lang Stadium in downtown St. Petersburg as the Rowdies take on FC Tulsa at 7:30 p.m. Experience 90 minutes of action-packed soccer you won't want to miss. Join us for our Pride Night celebration and get your tickets now by calling 727-222-2000 or visiting us at www.rowdiesoccer.com. We'll see you at Al Lang Saturday, July 29th at 7:30 p.m. Come on, you Rowdies.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee, Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, where we've got two simulators. We started a league on Monday. We're going to have a ladies league starting on Wednesday, and they might even show a little leg there, Mr. McTavish. I saw that smile on your face. And, of course, we got John Rager up there on St. Augustine Beach. And Kerry McNally in the house. We hadn't seen him for quite some time. He is the resident comedian. You name it, he's done it. And right now he's taking on a project that does interface with the world of golf.
Yeah, as you guys all know, that I am incredibly passionate about the game of golf. And through a dear friend of mine, a gentleman by the name of Alan Clary, who is a professor over at USF, entrepreneur, and has been a president and CEO of a bunch of companies, he has become very good friends with a gentleman by the name of Dale Schmidt, who bought Feather Sound Country Club back in 2014 and has put his hard money and hard work and creative ability into taking that golf course to the next level. If you have not been out to Feather Sound Country Club, it is a world-class track that has wide, forgiving fairways, larger greens now that are like pool tables.
Made for you, Mike.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, definitely made for me.
Right, but it can stretch out to 7,300 yards.
I hear the food out there is good, too,
right? The food is fantastic. We have three tiers of membership. There's a full golf membership, there's a tennis membership, and there's also a new executive dining membership where you can just go and have lunch or dinner there at this gorgeous restaurant. It's called the Soundboard, actually.
Can you use the pool too?
You can with the executive dining membership. You can use the pool, and you get six rounds of golf per year if you want, or six times on the tennis court. But I think it's one of the best kept secrets in all of Tampa Bay. It is centrally located, obviously, just north of Almerton Road, in Clearwater, and so it's 15 minutes to Tampa Bay International. It's 6 minutes to Clearwater International, 15 minutes to downtown St. Pete, 15 minutes across the bridge to International Mall, Raymond James Stadium, all that. It is a gorgeous, absolutely phenomenal course that is now becoming a world-class country club in of its own right. So if you're interested, there's three tiers of membership, and I'm going to be working with them on all their marketing, all their messaging. We're going to be doing a big tournament called the Heroes Invitational on the 1st of November. So stay tuned and buckle up. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to take this show on the road to Feather Sound.
Who's the chef over there?
His name is Chef Ken. Jimmy and his team are phenomenal. If you have a special event coming up, you don't have to be a member, whether it's a wedding, a celebration of life, perhaps it's an engagement party, or it's a corporate meeting, you just call, ask for Francine Barrazzo. She is a world-class...
Chuck, Frankie?
She does. You can call her Frankie.
I just want to make sure.
Well,
I call.
This is a beautiful, elegant, very, very professional woman, and she will do a great job for you. So, and of course, you know, all these beautiful, the ballroom and the sandpiper room, they all look over the gorgeous golf course.
I'm ready to write a check right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Carrie, did they do golf tournaments on Mondays?
Yeah, we could do that. We can absolutely do that. There's a couple of standing golf tournaments coming up. There's a member, there's a member guest. They have this Rush tournament in honor of two gentlemen who passed away that were members there for a long time. And we're going to do this new, we're going to do something called the First Responders Open. And I just talked to some of the firefighters today. We're going to do that probably in March of next year. And on the T Florida, we'll be at the Heroes and Invitational and the First Responders Open. Those may be during the week, John, but I'd love to get you out on that golf course. I'd love to get this whole team out on that golf course so you can really see what the millions of dollars and the time and the effort and the love that's been poured into this golf course. It's really impressive. They have a 16,000-square-foot putting practice area.
I'm just coming up to the practice putting.
Yeah, beautiful driving range, a practice
Ribbon
area.
Won't let me come in his backyard. He's got my picture with an X on it.
Yeah. And we have Alyssa, who is the beverage mixologist, the on-cart mixologist. We don't say cart girl anymore. We say
mixologist.
On-course mixologist.
La-di-da.
Yeah. Listen, you highbrow bastard.
I've had the pleasure of being able to host tournaments out there for many years. I've had the NFL Alumni Tournament, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame Tournament. I can attest to you that's a high-quality place, and glad to hear that they've got an owner that's really putting the money into it and making it very special. What a great location. And I know you got some great golfers that hang around there, and I'm just kind of curious, is Jake Kevorkian still hanging there?
That I'm not sure of, but you're absolutely right. There's a bunch of sticks rolling around that turn, that track, and you can see it on the driving range, and then you see them on the first tee, and you see, because the first tee is right next to the clubhouse, so you can really see them launch these things out into that wide open fairway. And at the number one is a par five, and it's a real birdie hole, as you probably know, John, but it has a bigger green. It has wonderful sort of waste areas that are very forgiving, but there's also a lot of water out there. There's a new creek that was actually a mistake. Listen to this. So when they were building, rebuilding the golf course, one of these pipes burst and it created a creek that ran from two of the ponds. And so they decided to keep it. And so I was talking with the owner, Dale, and his last name is Schmidt. And I said, look, let's call it Schmidt's Creek. And when you hit your ball in it.
Schmidt's Creek. Very creative, my man.
And, John, you're 4 minutes away from the new Topgolf that they built.
That's right. Absolutely. So there's a lot of wonderful stuff going on. So, John, whenever you're back down in this area, I'm very remiss and very apologetic that we did not get to see each other when you were here. I apologize for that. That won't happen again, but you guys are all invited. And to everybody that's listening, if you get a chance, come on out to Feather Sound Country Club.
Well, I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's going to be a great invitation. When I was down there for my first appearance, actually in Ferg's 19th hole clubhouse there on the ice pick on the T Florida Studios, we're sitting around there. We had quite a crowd. And you know what happened? Everybody started clapping. Where is Carrie? Where is Carrie? And yeah, we didn't have an answer. We said, maybe he's on the interstate, maybe he's stuck in traffic. But we'll take you up on this invite. We look forward to coming to play Feather Sound and having a good time and learning more about it. And, I'm going to give you a call tomorrow. I got a tournament, I think, that might want to play there.
Okay, great. Let's talk about it.
John, that was his mom saying that.
That's right.
And Mike said, you ought to know.
And his wife. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. His wife was looking for him.
All right, guys. I'm out. I love you guys. The show is awesome. This place, if you're listening to this show, you got to come up and check out this studio. There is a full swing golf simulator. That's probably, a $50,000 piece of equipment right here?
Right in that range,
and
man.
You can just dial in whatever you want to play, whether it's Pebble Beach or Whistling Straits or Sawgrass, you name it.
And don't say here. Augusta, because Augusta's not on there.
Have a good, have a cold beer and hang out with us every Thursday from 5 to 7.
Exactly. He's Kerry McNally. Appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule.
My pleasure.
I'll give you a shout, not tomorrow. I'm busy with the high school world, but next week I'll come up, and then we'll talk a little bit about how we make things work with Feather Sound and On the Tee Florida.
Excellent. Yeah.
All right, my man.
It'd be great to go up there and do a show.
We're going to do that.
We will certainly do that. We will certainly travel, especially to a wonderful track like that, John Rager. And you're familiar with that facility as well. And I know exactly.
Mike, you're going to have to wear a collared shirt when we.
What? I'll borrow some clothes.
Yeah.
I'll borrow some clothes. I can slick up once in a while. I assure you that. I can slick up. He's Kerry McNally, and of course we've got Ivor McTavish, who is upgrading our sound here. Bill Butner, we got Bill Butner on hold. The man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, bring him on. He's up in North Carolina, right?
Yeah,
in North Carolina. Welcome to Tar Heel State, baby.
Well, you're in Tar Heel country. You probably get moisty eyed start weeping every morning when you wake up and realize that you're not in Florida. You're in God's country, as far as you're concerned.
I am in God's country. I did leave the golf mecca in Pinehurst, and I'm up here near NASCAR in Mooresville, North Carolina, near Lake Norman.
Nice.
You're doing a little golfing or a little vacationing, a little seeing some fam. What are you doing?
I'm doing a little fam. We got a couple of dogs. We got a lake. We got a boat. We got some things to do up here. It's only 92 degrees. They think it's hot. I tell them, come on now. Come to Florida. You'll find out what hot is.
It's 92 degrees? I thought maybe where you're located might be a little cooler. Is it cooler at night?
Not really. It's just quiet, no wind, just kind of a muggy. But it's a lot better than what I left in in Florida.
Well, and it hasn't changed any, my friend.
A little bit. It's down to 92 now. It was running here about 95.
Let's get to the important things. How's Patty doing? That's what I really want to know.
She's in Colorado. I talked to her today. She's in Colorado. Sends her love to you, Bill. I said you were away too.
Okay. I'm just worried about her golf game. I was hoping her golf game would improve while I'm gone. So
it won't improve until her special teacher comes back.
Her personal instructor.
Exactly. I can't get a minute out of you, but you're all over Patty and whatever tips she needs. And that, actually, she has a much better swing than me after short sessions with you. So I'm sure we will have to watch her game advance.
Well there's that part in the fact that every time I'm there, there's always some kind of a beverage there waiting on me. And, you know, I mean, with you, it's kind of like I get the look.
Hey, well, she is our cocktail queen, and she just wants to make sure that she takes good care of her favorite pro.
Hey, sorry, John Rager. You are the pro.
Yeah. Sorry, John Rager. Bill Butner is her favorite pro.
Hey, I'm just proud to be here tonight. That's all. In fact, in the presence of Bill Butner, you know, Bill, you know, I moved from our condo into a house recently, and so I did my final moving out of the storage unit. Had to get all my memorabilia out there, and I found it—the unwrapped version of the 1991 PGA Tour set. I got it, so I'm going to bring it down next time I come to FERC, and I'm going to have you sign it. I know that you have everybody signed in it because you played on the tour in 1991 and had everybody sign your cards. So I'm just going to settle for you signing the outside of my card set.
Wow, that would be such an honor for me to kind of open up your set to me.
Well, only at the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios can we have a couple of dogs barking as we do the show. It'd only be appropriate as they come up and introduce each other. I didn't realize there were dogs in the house, but I don't think that.
I guess it beats alligators.
Yeah, exactly. We are in Florida, Bill Butner. So, what have you been doing on the golf side of things down in North Carolina?
Well, we had a golf camp last week. We had 68 juniors up there, so we did our usual, instruction in the morning and play golf with them in the afternoon. So that was a great time. I was up there with Pat McGowan, who was 1978 Rookie of the Year. Mark Lai, another former tour player, was there. Brooke Koepka's teacher, Warren Bakke, was there. Donna Andrews, a legend in North Carolina, Tar Heel world. She was there teaching. So I was around a lot of good people, a lot of support from my Tar Heel people. And then I've migrated a little further north, and I'm going to migrate even further north after today.
Well, I'm looking forward to you returning to the Clubhouse Studios, my friend. I'm actually looking forward to you working a little with me so I don't embarrass myself once we get out on the golf course as a team. We're going to Feather Sound with Kerry McNally. He's doing a lot of the marketing up there. I'm sure you're familiar with that track.
I am, and I'm glad Kerry got that position because it's only going to explode from here. But I just have a question. Are you workable? I mean, I'm not. I haven't seen you in action.
Am I workable? Well, let's just say I'm not as flexible. I'm not as flexible as Miguel Lonel Jimenez, who is on top of the leaderboard there at the Senior British Open. I'm not as flexible.
Or Patty. You're not as flexible as she is either.
Hey, Bill. Just put this picture in your mind about Mike's golf swing. Phone booth. Thank octopus falling out of a tree, and thank two bulldogs in a burlap sack. That's his golf swing right there.
You want to counter that one, please?
hey, Bill. I have to gloat for a minute. You know, we were all picking winners of the Open last week, and I went with. I went with Jon Rahm. And I know he wasn't the official winner, but as far as I'm concerned, he was the winner of our group and our selections. So I am right now leading the pack. I should figure out how many strokes I was ahead of all you poor losers. But I had Jon Rahm, and I am leading the pack in our pick the pro.
Kerry, could you pat him on the back for me one time, please?
Well, but right now Tom's sitting next to me, and he's disgusted by listening to me.
And I'm this far away, and I'm still kind of not interested in what you're saying.
Well, that's everybody. Well, my friend, I appreciate you taking time to join us. I wish you were down here instructing these guys on the simulator. We need some tips on how to hit the ball for these guys. That's the beauty of watching these guys on the simulator when they're not certain what they're doing. It's comic relief as well.
Yeah, and the flip-flops.
No, it's pure entertainment. That's what it is. Pure entertainment.
When you come back down, we're gonna tee it up at Feather Sound. So we're gonna get Tom, Mike, and I, and you, and we'll get Patty to be our beverage cart girl. But I'm gonna need four aside. I need four strokes aside. May not be enough because even 30 years ago, you still beat me by 8 shots. You're gonna beat me by at least 8 shots now. So I need four aside, bro.
I'll give you 4-on-1 and 4-on-10. We'll play all day.
Well, Bill, go enjoy your family. Are you doing any fishing?
No, I'm not a fisherman. I mean, I get caught rather than getting anything.
Yeah, I'm not a fisherman either. I don't have the patience, obviously, and my ADD, age deficit disorder, kicks in. But
I hear you.
Yeah. All right, my friend. We look forward to your return. Enjoy yourself. I'll be reaching out to you for some guests here in the near future. Now that we're going 2 hours, you reach into that deep Rolodex of yours, and we'll be making phone calls across the country to some of your old haunts when you were on the tour.
You guys look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
All right. He's Bill Butner. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll wind down on the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Yeah.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back as we wind things down. Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm Mike Rickard alongside of Tom Gribben and, of course, John Rager up there at St. Augustine Beach. Nice talk, having a conversation with Mr. Butner, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's always fun to talk to Bill. You know, he's a very humble guy. I mean, he's the pro's pro. And not only because of his playing ability and his fact that he played on the PGA Tour for a number of years, but Bill was a great golf coach down at Eckerd College and a great golf professional at St. Pete Country Club. And what a great golf member of this community. And that's what a lot of the folks do that, you know, we all, when we end our playing careers, to go into business and other things like that. So, you know, Bill does kind of downplays a little bit, but he's a lot of us look up to him as the pro's pro.
Yeah, he certainly is. And it's astonishing. The time I spent with him over at St. Pete Country Club and then over at Eckerd College, he never mentioned that he was on the PGA Tour for 15 years. He's so humble about that, because that is quite an accomplishment in someone's life. 15 years.
Well, it is. You know, I mean, I tell you, obviously when I was growing up, you know, people know that my dad was an all-pro linebacker in the NFL, played for the Steelers and the Redskins. And I can tell you that he was an exceptional athlete. And there's so many that played football that never really made it to that level. And just like in golf, it's the same way. The fact that you can even play in one PGA Tour event means that you're like in the 0.1% of the 50 million golfers in the world, and to stay out on the tour for 15 years is an incredible accomplishment, even if you haven't won anything. So there's such a fine line between the successful PGA Tour players and the ones that never win a tour event, and that line is infinitesimal. I mean, it's a very, very thin line. Hey, you know, and Tom, it's probably a lot like musicians. There's such great musicians out there, but yet there's that little fine line that defines the greatest from just everybody else. What do you think
Absolutely.
About that?
Yeah, right. There's only a small percentage that make it like winning the Open or something in music. And there's so many good musicians out there. Sometimes it's luck. Don't know.
Well, it is interesting. You know, I know that, you know, living up here in St. Pete Beach, you know, there's the St. Pete Amphitheater up here that brings in a lot of great acts. And lately, there's been a lot of, you know, folks that, like Peter Frampton, you know, obviously, you know, he's well past his prime, but his music is spectacular. We had the Beach Boys up here. We had Don Felder from formerly of the Eagles. I got John Fogerty tomorrow night I'm going to see. And even though these musicians, they're in their 70s, and some of them are even 80 years old now, their music's wonderful, it's timeless, but yet it's that one little fine line that separates them from just an average musician to people that are spectacular. And the fact that somebody like yourself that could actually go on stage and perform and do that internationally and have some acclaim, it's awesome to me. It's just as awesome to me as a PGA Tour player, as a person like you, Tom, that's gone out and been a musician and done this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, walking out on the stage at Wembley was a big deal.
I think.
And it, yeah, it, I appreciated it while it was happening too.
Which sometimes in the youth people don't do that. Hey, I want to ask you then, as we mentioned before, we're just about out of time. We just lost the late Tony Bennett, who was one of my favorites, and you posted a picture. Share a little bit about Tony Bennett and the times that you interacted with him down at Mahaffey.
Well, yeah, down when I was at the Mahaffey Theater running those shows there, you know, we had Tony about four times, and he was such a gentleman each time. His road manager and I got to be good friends because I dealt with everything. And Tony would always come down and bring his little dog. And the last time he was there, John, you know, he was showing signs of dementia. And yet he was he still wanted to do a little meet and greet after the show. He allowed me to bring back some foundation members, about eight people. And the funny part about it is, not funny, but I mean, it's impressive. When he got out on the stage to do his act, he had no dementia. When he got out on the stage, he had done it so many times that he never missed a word. Never, you know, he knew all the little asides to the bands. He knew the little call and repeat from the other guys in the band. And he was. It was only when he walked off the stage that then he lost his sense of where he was and all. But not. He was such a gentleman the whole time that I've known him, and so I took those pictures back when we were. Actually, his tour manager took those pictures of us back in the hallway, over the years.
Consummate professional, isn't he?
Absolutely. He is a pro's pro.
Yeah, well, God
and very
bless
generous,
him.
Too. A very generous guy, not a prima donna, just a real pro.
And you could see when he was playing with Lady Gaga in his last public appearance, which was very impressive, that the dementia had set in considerably. But again, he just looked in control on the stage.
While he was singing, he
exactly.
still had it. Yeah.
Very impressive. That'll be you and I, John, on the air. We'll just be repeating ourselves. People will have to put the mic up to us. We'll be in our 80s, and they'll have to pry the mic out of our hands. What do you think?
Well, my wife says I repeat myself all the time right now, and my goodness, I'm 20 years away from that.
Well, that's only when you've had three or four ice pick vodkas sitting on the beach.
You have an excuse.
Yeah, that's understandable. Well, you know what, gentlemen, it's been an interesting show, but it rolled right along. Had some great job of lining up that Steve. I'll tell you what, I'm very, very impressed with that gentleman and his career, his life. Steve Pike. I mean, unbelievable, Pike.
He's
a very interesting man, and I followed his career for a long time. Our paths crossed years and years ago when he was at Golf Week. But I can tell you that he made a very telling comment. It was about the fact that...
We got about a minute, buddy.
I got 1 minute. Okay, well, just the fact that he said he doesn't live in reality. Well, I feel the same way. Every day I wake up, and on the Tee Florida golf.com, I feel like I'm not in reality either, every Thursday night from 5 to 7.
Well, you do a superb job. I appreciate it. Tom, thank you for coming down. And we had a little Kerry McNally. From the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, I'm Mike Rickard. For John Rager, Kerry McNally, Tom Gribben, Bill Butner up in North Carolina, Patty Suzette, we're thinking of her out in Colorado, Steve Pike, Matt Dobinson, and, of course, Joe Bordeaux and Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida. And always, God bless you. God bless America. And remember, keep it in the short grass. And always hit up straight.